Welcome to Good Morning Paranormal. Good Morning Paranormal is brought to you by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. With host Mike Baker from Crossroads Paranormal Radio and different radio host personalities from the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network lineup, we're bringing you the lighter side of the paranormal. Now that you've found us, kick back, relax, and enjoy for the next 2 hours. Good Morning Paranormal.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, hump day, and you're listening to Good Morning Paranormal. I am Mike, and joining me today is my lovely but ever cranky wife, Chris.
Whatever.
And the big guy from Utah, Mr. Tom Carr.
Morning.
Tom sounds sick, and the other one's just...
I told you I wasn't feeling well.
She wasn't feeling well, yeah. So I got two...
My hearts go out to you, Chris.
Two sickies here with me today, yeah. So...
Not cool. Just not feeling...
Bad morning paranormal.
That's only because I'm here.
It's just that... I don't know.
It's been such crappy weather. That's a lot of it. It's like... You know, everybody's got the blahs and they're... They don't know whether to have the sniffles.
Look, I've got the blahs. Got the upset stomach and just, ugh.
There's some stuff going around, too, though.
I knew that was coming. I knew somebody was going to say there's some stuff going around. Because when anybody's sick, there's all something going around.
There was a guy, I went to pay a bill the other day, and there was a guy in front of me that was just getting over something. He was telling the lady that he thought he was going to die. He had it so bad, so... Mm.
I don't want to hear that. I don't have time for that. I hit the road tomorrow to go out of state for work. So
hit
I don't
the road, Jack.
I don't have time for this. I don't have time to be locked in a car for like, you know, 2-3 hours and feeling like gunge.
Yeah. I was feeling a little sickly the other day, and I thought, oh, no, this is not time. We got a lot of stuff coming up. I got no time for this mess.
Yeah, I've got my 10-year-old. He's been sick for 3 days. He's had a really high fever and just coughing.
Hmm.
So he's feeling better, but
see, something going around.
Yeah, something going around. It's even in Utah. That's one powerful cold you got there, Chris.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's like some kind of psychic power, like Jennifer Aniston now says she has.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Jennifer Aniston says she has psychic gifts.
She is psychic.
I go let her read me.
Let me.
Yeah, I'm projecting my mind to her right now.
Apparently, according to All News Web, she thinks she is psychic. According to one associate, she said she's always felt some sort of psychic powers and used to think she'd get premonitions. She then got hooked on the book called The Secret and really started to believe she was psychic.
You know what? I'd go get a reading from her. I wouldn't care if she got anything right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, keep going. You're close. You're almost there.
There you go. Keep trying.
I thought you said she was going to read that Out on a Limb book by, what's her name? I can't think of her name now. Never mind. Sissy Spacek. I knew it would come to me.
Apparently, she now carries tarot cards around with her everywhere she goes and is always doing readings for her friends and film crews. It's kind of cute, they say. She is now telling everyone she knows that the stars are aligned for her, and it should not be long before she finds her new love.
We need to get her on the show.
Yeah. Her and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
There you go.
Together.
Yeah. Yeah, they could read me all day.
I've got a set of tarot cards I carry around with me all the time.
It would just draw a blank, Mike.
It's okay.
There's nothing to read.
I say, keep trying.
Yeah, it'd be like, boobies. boobies.
And then throw in the occasional Hot Pocket and Corn Dog, and you pretty much...
Cheetos. I prefer the Cheetos.
Good gosh.
So last night, just I don't know what it was, but I was laying in bed and I freaked out.
Okay.
I mean, I couldn't sleep. I was scared crapless. I don't know what the heck happened, but I'm like looking down my hallway, thinking someone's gonna come after me. What's up with that?
What did you eat before you went to bed?
Chicken sandwich.
Chicken sandwich. You know,
Mike, don't wake Bigfoot upstairs. You need to be quiet.
And you know, I slept like crap last night too, and I had some weird dreams, and I hardly ever
dream. Mike, I know why you're having those dreams.
Why? But, so I didn't sleep well either. And
that's what it is.
I can't remember what I was dreaming, but I was like, why in the world?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I ended up grabbing my little MP3 player and watching Spaceballs because I was that creeped out.
Huh.
Well, you know, how do you think the security guard felt in, this is out of Asia One News, that apparently had been scratched by a ghost while he was doing his patrol in a like subdivision type thing. 32 years old. It was 5:30 a.m. on Friday when he heard noises coming from a vacant unit. He shone his torchlight through the window and was shocked to see a mysterious white figure with red eyes and long hair.
I'm sorry, but every single time I hear somebody from Europe talk about a flashlight and they call it a torchlight, I just keep thinking of them carrying a big stick with a flame on the end.
What I love...
Get into the 20th century, please!
What I love is it says residents who got wind of the incident gathered with batons and sticks to check the empty bungalow and found nothing. Oh, God, I think we killed Tom.
Oh, that's what we need to do on investigations. We need to carry more batons and sticks.
Policemen later broke the locks to enter the bungalow and found nothing unusual. The crowd were left stunned when the scratch marks on Albert's face disappeared the moment he washed it with water.
Was it holy water?
It does not say.
I always wonder how they get the holes in the water. I'm kind of curious.
Well, it's made by the Swiss.
Yeah, there you go.
Ah, that's what it is. You have to have a Swiss priest bless it. I get it.
Yeah. But I thought that was kind of bizarre that a white figure with red eyes and long... What's with the red eye thing? Do our eye colors change when we die? Do they turn red, or was this something demonic?
I'm making mine purple when I'm dead, just because I thought it'd be kind of creepy.
Oh, God.
I thought, according to Supernatural, isn't it green?
Yellow,
yeah, it's like yellow.
Well,
sorry.
The yellow-eyed demon, and then if it's an actual demon, their eyes turn black. It's
black, that's right. So, I don't know where the red's coming from.
So Amy Winehouse, do you know who that is?
Yes, the skinny drug addict.
Yes.
Who occasionally sings.
Yeah. She has actually been visited by Michael Jackson.
Oh, has she?
Yes. Yes, she had been consulting with spirit mediums while she was trying to dry out. She has been a longtime fan of Michael Jackson. And she once said she could never decide whether she wanted to be Michael Jackson or marry him. However,
I could go so many directions with that.
Telling Britain's The People, she heard Michael Jackson's voice telling her if she didn't sort herself out, she would lose everything.
You know, she is kind of white and pasty. I think she could probably play Michael Jackson.
I don't know if Mike can see this picture, but... I don't know, maybe Michael Jackson's alive and this is it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
It's kind of like the Hannah Montana Miley Cyrus thing, you know?
Definitely got some similarities there.
Yeah. Huh. What, Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus, they're not the same person?
Well, yeah, they are, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
It's like Amy
I was getting worried there for a second, I was like... Damn.
But
those two girls look a lot alike.
I think it's like, you know, Michael Jackson probably posed maybe as Amy Winehouse so that when he died, he could, you know, just be Amy. I don't know.
There you go.
I think you're probably right, Chris. And I have to say that was an excellent segue, by the way. Oh. And that wasn't even planned either.
I think I'm just going
to
keel over.
You guys are just joyous this morning. Listen to you.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, it's not the cigarettes that are killing me. It's all the coughing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. So, did you see in, oh, gosh, the Morris Daily Herald out of Grundy County, Illinois.
Grundy.
You know, I actually subscribe to that magazine.
The newspaper. I almost called you a bad word. I forgot it was on the air.
It wouldn't be the first time.
I know. It's a newspaper, you male part of the, or the male part of the anatomy. All right. PG-13. All right. Ghost hunters charged with trespassing at a cemetery.
Imagine that.
In Illinois, five people, including a juvenile, were found in a cemetery at 9:30 Thursday, July 23rd. He found five people. A deputy found five people in a cemetery who said the cemetery was haunted and they were looking for ghosts. The trespassers were pointed out to several signs indicating that the cemetery was closed. Involved was an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, another 18-year-old, another 18-year-old, and a minor. They were given court dates on August 17th. Hmm. The juvenile was released to a parent, and a petition will be sought. Hey, stupid!
How do you close a cemetery? I'm just kind of curious.
That's a good question.
I've always wondered that.
Well, it's not like it's a lively place.
Well, that's true.
You don't know that. Maybe at night it is.
Well, no.
People are dying to get in there.
Yes.
But other than that.
I know here in Indiana, if there are, well, there's one cemetery that we have visited that we had permission to. They actually have a gate that they close off.
Yeah, and we have that here.
You know, like an actual big, not just a walking gate, but a big gate. So, and I thought here in Indiana, if a cemetery has a fence around it, even if there's an opening, that it technically closes at dusk. And there are signs that, that clearly state here, you know, the cemetery closes at dusk.
Yeah. And my only other question is, not what, did this just recently happen?
Yeah, they were picked up July 23rd, so Thursday.
Is it really dusk at 9:30, though?
Yeah, that's dusk.
Yeah.
It's not dark, it's dusk.
I'm not defending these guys, but, you know, maybe the cop was being a little too much like a cop.
Well, they're 18 years old. I think that we don't need 18-year-olds running around in cemeteries, especially with all the vandalism, and unless they're...
I agree with you. I just think it's... I'd much rather have an 18-year-old running through a cemetery who's trying to look for ghosts than out, I don't know, beating up kids and... on walls, but
the thing that concerned me is it doesn't say whether this was a group or an organization, and if it was, I would like to think they had permission.
Yeah,
that's
me too.
My whole point. You know, yeah. I mean, in some cemeteries, it doesn't matter if it's dusk or not; they close at 6 o'clock. Period.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about Illinois, but I don't know. And the juvenile thing—I mean, obviously, it was probably like a 16-year-old. I bet
more likely,
maybe younger. Who knows,
it's possible. It's hard to say. Probably, I'd say 16 is a good guess.
Yeah. Also, I came across Philadelphia Paranormal and Hauntings Examiner Mark Davis wrote an article in regards to the paranormal puck.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He says it's a device to help with communication during a paranormal investigation. And of course, it says, I believe it says, you know, he from what he read going through the manual, that its best use is for documenting environmental conditions, which includes EMF and temperature data. Also has a list of almost 2,000 most used words in the English language. They say the list is scrambled 9 times to make it as random as possible. And he says, well, that just tells me that there's a predetermined word for any particular reading. Oh, wait, their manual says that also. This basically means don't use this tool for communication. There, his other concern is how does it measure the electromagnetic field? He says his group will be presenting a paper at the East Coast Paranormal Investigators Conference in October 2009 on what they are actually doing with these meters. Based on some of their research to date, He says that he is sure that this device is not a good determining factor where EMF is concerned. That leaves the thermometer portion of the device. Okay, a computer-generated thermometer. Isn't there a better way? There are many devices out there that are good. He utilizes a data logger for all environmental conditions. The device is set before he leaves for a location and is the size of a pen. He says they have a live listening devices they utilize for immediate responses to EVPs, and they measure the environment consistently with EMF detectors and IR thermometers. sorry, Mark, IR thermometers is for what?
IR.
Dork. solid surfaces. It's not ambient air temperature. It's for surfaces. So, you know, glad you have your IR thermometer, but... I think you meant, hopefully you meant, your ambient air.
I was messing with you.
So, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I can't say I'm necessarily a fan of the paranormal puck. He obviously isn't. He says, you know, have you guessed my thoughts on this device yet? But I think it's something that does need to be studied more. And, you know, is it, can it provide a way to communicate? I don't know. I mean, we don't know how ghosts manipulate or whatever to communicate, so we can't really say that it's no good, right?
Oh, no, we can't, but I'm just kind of curious how they figured out the 2,000 most common words in the English language. That's the other thing that you know, how do you, and if is that modern English words?
Yeah.
You know, there's the other question I have. And I don't know how often you say demon, but it's not like one of the words that I drop every 5 seconds.
Well, that's the ovulus. Right. That's not the puck. The puck doesn't
do
it as much. I mean, you know, okay, what do you mean by common? Like, you know, I see the dictionary just re-added some new words, or added some new words, like staycation is now in the dictionary. It is now a word.
Staycation?
Staycation. It's when people are off work on vacation, but they don't go out of town or take a vacation. It's called a staycation. They're staying at home. It is now in the dictionary. It has been added. but, yeah, I mean, I would freak out if the paranormal puck said, yo, fuzzizzle, or something like that. but I think it's more like the maybe common names like Michael, David, of course, Gott, you know.
Well, I think they ought to come out with one that, you know, talks like, good sir, how are thy today? You know, I mean, come on. We're talking to ghosts from the 1800s or even earlier. They'll go walk around going, deed, man, what's up? Deed, let's get hit the waves, you know? I mean, I don't know. I just have a problem with most of these devices just for the simple fact that I think you can accomplish the same thing that they do for a lot less money and with better equipment that I think you can, you know.
I don't find these devices horribly priced, by no means. And I mean, it's the use of jet speak, so it's not going to have an accent. It's not going to, you know, I mean, if they put something in that was like, I'm meaty, you know, obviously it's going to cost more. So yeah. I think they tried to put it together as affordable as possible for, you know, the average, I guess, paranormal group.
Average Joe.
You know.
But the thing is, Chris, is that I really feel like it's kind of like the skin oil guy. You know, the paranormal is popular now, so let's make something that's going to appeal to the general public and sell it. Mm-hmm. And there's new people out there all day that are thinking, oh my God, they used it on, you know, television, well, yeah. So I must have it for my group too.
But the thing is these things were out prior to television shows using them.
The puck was?
Yes, sir.
Was it really? I didn't know that.
It was, yeah.
Well,
I mean, things like the ovilus was tested well before it was released to television. I mean, Bill Chappell made specific ones, like he made one for Patrick Burns, one for Keith Age. I know there was a couple of other people that experimented with it. Barry from Ghost Hunters International, before they even showed up on the show, these people had them. They were out there. So.
Oh, okay. I mean, I could see that. I just... I guess I'm just, I've been leaning more and more back to old school.
Oh, yeah.
Every single day.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Because I felt like that was when I got the best stuff.
Well, and not only that, I think people become so involved in the equipment that they're not paying attention to what's happening around them.
Yeah, and I've noticed that too. I mean, we'd spend a good 45 minutes to an hour setting up IR cameras and all that, and I'm like, you know what? This is just a waste of time. Let's go there, grab our digital recorders and our cameras, and just walk in there and go at it.
Well, you know, what a great segue into Sherry Esperon, who has, I believe, been on our show.
Yes, yes.
She is a Milwaukee paranormal examiner. She wrote, examiner.com out of Chicago. And Sherry, I really hope you don't mind, but I think you did a fantastic job on this, and I want to cover it on the show. It's called How Not to Be a Ghost Hunter, a Tongue-in-Cheek Guide. And I thought this would be something great to go through. It's there's quite a few points on it, so I thought this would probably take us the entire show to discuss everyone. but it's really good. So I'm going to read the segue into this article, and it says, so you want to be a ghost hunter. Being a ghost hunter is easy. All you need to do is spend a few hours watching television. You can learn all about it. There are wonderfully real and accurate paranormal shows all over cable television. Watch them, and you too can be an expert. But what if you don't have cable television? Never fear. I have watched all the shows, and I can tell you what to do. So here we go. The first section is called Preparing for a Ghost Hunt. Okay? So here's the first point. And Tom, like I said, we can discuss it after each point.
That's fine.
You can put in your input, what have you. So the first one we're going to cover is number one. Ghost hunting is an exciting and thrilling hobby. Your time spent ghost hunting will be action-packed. Ghosts are drawn to activity. So have fun and be high energy. Don't stay in one place too long. 2 to 3 minutes is more than enough. You never see the guys from TAP sitting around for hours, do you?
I've been doing it wrong, Chris. I have been so doing it wrong for all of these years.
Well, now you know, so let's get on the stick.
So that's the first one, and obviously I think we just talked about this. I don't know if it was on CPR show or Good Morning Paranormal last week, where I'm all about taking a lawn chair and just sitting.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, me too.
Cool. Yeah. I don't care. Call me a lawn chair ghost hunter. I'm okay with that.
I'm a lazy ass ghost hunter.
I am. You know, my whole, I guess, dream is, you know, all these people have this dream of having an IR camera and stuff like that. I want to have a paranormal rascal. You know, like one of those little
a paranormal rascal.
That would be cool. You know, with all the equipment built on.
Camera on there.
A little monitor.
Laptop. Yeah.
Now, don't be stealing my ideas here.
I like it.
I don't know if
I like it a lot because I'm a big fat lazy guy.
Me too. I'm a big fat lazy girl.
How cool would that be?
I know. I don't know if Medicaid would cover it yet. Mike, you are getting up there.
I know. I'm close, man. I qualify. kick me in my leg. I know I can get it.
We could probably get one donated.
Yeah. I think, how cool would it be? You could have like the little fluorescent stripes on it so people can see you at night.
I can strap an ASPRN banner on the back of it.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
I'm telling you.
All right.
Yep. Yep.
Headlights, just in case you get really scared.
Yeah. Yep.
Have a microphone too, so that, you know, you can do a little show.
Get those rugged tires, so you can go off roading. You know, from the cemetery.
I like it. Yeah. Damn, girl. We need to call up the marketing department right now.
I'm drawing one up.
Well, yeah, you want to have your own special features, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the paranormal rascal. What I want.
Is that a prascal?
It's a
Are
prascal.
You tired of walking around haunted locations? Are you sick of people saying, hey, let's go to another room? Hey, you don't have to worry about that anymore. We have the paranormal rascal.
Prascal.
That's for you.
Prascal. There you go. Prascal.
The prascal can be painted in any of your team colors and also outfitted with your team logo.
There you go. I like it.
if you're fat and lazy like us, the problem.
If you're a real ghost hunter and you're fat and lazy, we've got just the right tool for you.
I like it.
The Prastel. And since it has been spoken by me, by the way, it is, you know, what do they call that? It's copyrighted.
That's right.
So, you know, no stealing the Prastel.
I love it.
It even comes with a spare battery, just in case you have power.
There you go. Well, it can have a charger right there on it. You know, you just plug in.
Plug it in. I ain't going anywhere until I get a full charge. We just saw a ghost. I can't go anywhere until it's fully charged.
Well, what you need...
I love it.
Is, you know,
the only other thing we have to make sure we add is a cup holder, so I can put my Diet Coke
somewhere. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The big foam ones, though, because you don't want to have to go back and keep filling up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're going to go that route, you got to have a little Gopi on it.
Oh,
I was going to say a catheter, but hey, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, if I don't have to walk to the bathroom, I don't care. I'll just wheel myself in there.
Well, you can just have a little hole in the seat of yours.
But we were talking about the bathroom.
We need a Gopi.
Hey, I'm the one who's supposed to make the bad jokes on this show.
I can just cut the ass out of all my pants, and you know.
I already do that.
It just looked like I'm sitting there, but I could be, you know, talking to you and peeing at the same time.
That's why I look forward to depends.
But we were talking about the battery, and you talked about having a spare battery. Well, maybe we can make a battery. You know how you have those flashlights that you just shake?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could have a battery like that, and you could just have someone walking behind you shaking it. Or if you're off-roading, it should be enough to, like, keep
it
charged.
There you go.
Hey, I like it. Right. I like it.
Yeah. Always thinking, I am a marketing genius.
You are.
Prastel.
The Prastel.
The Prastel.
You know what? I think we need to have Greg make up a mock commercial.
Greg and I've been meaning to talk to Greg. Greg and I've got an idea for a spoof commercial on the SSC, Simulating Spiritual Communication. I've got it written. I just got to get a hold of Greg so we can do it together. But I think we need to do some more mock commercials.
Oh, I think so.
And I think the Prastel would be a perfect one.
Oh, yeah. I think we need to do it. And we need to come up with, you know, like,
picture. We need to...
Well, not necessarily a picture, but if it's an audio commercial, like, you know, brought to you by...
ASPRN.com.
Yeah. God, people would be going there trying to buy the Prastel. But then you need to have that disclaimer at the end, you know? Prastels are not built for skinny people under. if you're under 250 pounds, you cannot use the Prastel.
They can be weight activated.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there we go. Like, there you go.
I remember years ago at the plant, the fork trucks are kind of that way, and we had this little tiny girl that worked for us, and she couldn't get her fork truck to go. And we were, like, looking around to make sure everything
was... Oh, is it where the seat, you have to sit on the seat, and that pressured the battery?
We were checking all the cables and making sure the wires are all plugged in. Like, why would this thing go? So we called the repair guys over, and hell, she just wasn't big enough to activate it.
Hey, I'll tell you even funnier. Me and a buddy, when I drove truck, we were going through a weight scale, and we were, like, 250 pounds over. So we went and found the skinniest truck driver we could to drive it over the scale, and that made it so we could get through the scale. That's how bad it was. So I was on the opposite side, but yeah, I like the Prastel idea.
Okay,
yeah, wonderful.
Greg and I will work on something.
Yes, yeah. we need a Prastel commercial.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, created by yours truly, the Prastel.
Wicked Chris.
If I could do something without having to physically move too much, I'm all about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I'd buy one.
You know what?
Somebody, the majority of the ghost hunters I've ever met, we're all lazy anyway.
Yeah.
Somebody on the
chose
street,
this hobby.
Somebody on the street parallel to us had something similar out on the curb with a sign on it. I should go see how much I want for it. Because we could actually make a mock Prastel.
Prototype, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, that would
do
be...
a video commercial.
And you know what? I know the person.
For
so.
Me.
No.
I got to be the beta tester.
No. No. All right. All right. So we have totally taken point one and gone over the edge.
Well, and before, while we're on commercials, why don't we just go ahead and take our first commercial?
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to talk about, we're still on preparing for a ghost hunt. Again, I do want to give props to Sherry Esperon for this, Milwaukee Paranormal Examiner. She did a fantastic job, and we're going to continue with this, and you never know what else may be created on Good Morning Paranormal.
That is right. You are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network and simulcasted on Free Time Radio at freetimeradio.com, and we will be right back.
The 4th Annual Paranormal Meet and Greet, attracting many paranormal enthusiasts from around the Midwest with the purpose of networking within the paranormal community. Paranormal groups are encouraged to set up booths and present information about their organization. Individuals looking for paranormal investigators or thinking about joining a group should not miss this opportunity to meet some of the leading organizations in paranormal investigation. Tours of the Hanna House will be available throughout the day for a small donation. There will also be a historic Hanna House yard sale from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Find treasures to take home from the historic mansion. The historic Haunted Hanna Mansion is located at 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46227. For further details and upcoming announcements, please visit www.crossroadsparanormal.com. Convergence of paranormal groups to meet in Indianapolis. Hosts have announced the 4th Annual Paranormal Meet and Greet on Saturday, August 8, 2009 in Indianapolis at the historic Haunted Hanna Mansion located at 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana. The event will begin at 12 p.m. and last until 4 p.m., open to the public, and admission is free. This event will be held at the Haunted Hanna Mansion, where one tragic night, a group of slaves cramped into a dirt floor cellar, sat waiting for the right time to leave their hiding spot at the Hanna House and head for freedom in Canada on the Underground Railroad. One of them unknowingly tipped over an oil lamp, instantly igniting a fire, trapping them for eternity. The dead are buried in that very cellar that claimed their lives in the attempt to cover up any traces of the heartbreaking incident. For further details on the 4th Annual Paranormal Meet and Greet, please visit www.crossroadsparanormal.com.
We are back to Good Morning Paranormal, and as those commercials said, next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, 12 noon, Indianapolis, Indiana, the Hanna House, the 4th Annual Paranormal Meet and Greet.
Okay, so during the break, I was thinking of the Praskle before we move on. Sorry. I've, like, got plans drawn up here. How cool would ours be, Mike? Because we'd have to do it Crossroads Paranormal Radio colors.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
black
first.
And gold, yeah.
Then, of course, you could do an ASPRN one. But, yeah, it'd be like that diamond.
We do one all black.
It'd be
they
like
call it the Ninja Praskle.
Okay, but picture this. Black diamond paint. Okay. Gold trim. And you know those cars that have, like, the hubs that look like they're moving?
Oh, yeah.
Have them done in gold on the Praskle? How cool would that be?
Very cool.
I'm telling you. What are you looking at?
Spidely.
Where? Oh, God!
you missed it. You're too far. Oh, God. Spiders and snakes.
Oh, where has this show gone already?
I don't know.
Oh, I think I peed a little.
Okay. See, if you'd have been on your Praskle, you had no problem.
You would have had no problem. You would have been fine.
See, you can even do the show in your Praskle. Huh?
All right. Oh, God, I hope it don't come down here on the floor.
Oh, well, it won't. The
only problem, Chris, is if we were to ride a Praskle, you'd have to wear, like, a lime-colored shirt and some funky-colored pants.
And not only that, you'd have to wear a helmet.
Yeah, and you have to wear a helmet.
Well, that can have your video camera and stuff attached to it.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
We'll flip down goggles so you can view what's going on.
Okay. We're over the Praskle.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
I'm getting me a Praskle.
Ooh, looking for the biter. Okay. Oh, I don't like piters. All right. I can't even think straight now. That just threw... It was huge. All right, number two. Your mind is more open... Oh, first of all, let me cover this if people are just tuning in. This is How Not to Be a Ghost Hunter, a tongue-in-cheek guide. by Sherry Esperon, the Milwaukee Paranormal Examiner. Fantastic job. Thank you, Sherry, for writing this. It wasn't written for us, but I came across it. So number two, your mind is more open when you are under the influence of drugs and alcohol. So be sure to have a couple of beers before you go and bring a few extra along in the cooler. I would never advocate the use of illegal drugs, but let's just say this. Too bad they are illegal, because they would be great help on a ghost hunt. Also, if you have smokers on the team, be sure to bring cigarettes. Ghosts are attracted to the nicotine, and you can often see the ectoplasm of many ghosts hovering around the smokers.
I don't even know where to start with that one. You know, bud,
keeping
on
in
a
mind,
ghost hunt is the best way to keep you motivated, as far as I'm concerned.
You know,
both buds, as a matter of fact.
I like the fact that it tells you to, be sure to bring the cigarettes. Of course, this is tongue-in-cheek, so in other words, leave the cigarettes at home. But if there's Native American, there's nothing wrong with taking a smoke, busting it open, and offering tobacco. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
Hear what I mean?
Speaking of tongue-in-cheek, huh?
Is you feeling me?
Listen, I'm totally lost, so that's okay.
Well, because you can offer the Native American tobacco to see if you can get any. Didn't they smoke?
Oh, okay, I get you.
Thank
now.
You.
I thought you had like some 6-foot Indian on a ghost hunt.
No!
I lost his job.
Yes, yes, we have multiple Native Americans at ghost hunt with us. No, yes. I mean, like, you know, Native American ghosts.
For a peace pipe?
Well, you can just offer them tobacco.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking maybe, you know, cheesy plastic jewelry. I mean, that's how we bought most of the land in the first place.
True. So anyway, that whole point of number two is no drugs or alcohol.
Right.
Okay. Number three. Love this one. The more the merrier. Bring all your friends. Make it a party. Goats love parties. And if something gets trashed, well, who cares? It isn't like the dead can complain, right?
Oh,
I
no,
hate
I got upset 2-year-old.
Aw, I hate ghost hunting with 40 of my favorite friends.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's the thing. I honestly feel that if you do it right and you control the situation, you can investigate a building with 30 or 40 people. And the energies from those people can actually increase the activity. I've experimented with this myself. Now, the control part is the hard thing. You've got to separate them into smaller groups. Mm-hmm. You've got to let people know kind of the basic rules, no whispering, you know, and if you have a question, say it at a normal level, stuff like that. But I think it's more of a training thing. But then again, too, I like taking new people on ghost hunts mm-hmm. because of fear. Because I think fear is a strong emotion, mm-hmm. and I think ghosts feed mm-hmm. off of fear. And so I take people that are going to be scared as bait. Hey,
just throw it out there,
works,
Tom.
It works.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be shy.
Yeah, bait. Come here. You're looking like
bait. You know, hey, and I've told them that. You know what? You guys are here for bait. I'm sorry. And if you get attacked, I am going to drop you to the ground and run, because I figure I can just have to outrun you.
Especially if you have a Praskle.
That's right.
You can even run over them.
Oh, God.
But I see her point, too, because I have gone on some of these tours where there's 80 or 90 people and there's no control.
Well, tours are one thing, but, you right. know, if you're going on, like, an investigation, you know, you don't need 20 people in a house.
But, you know,
it's too much.
No. Yeah, and I agree. I think it also depends on the size, but, yeah, you're right.
I gotta say, that should be the big factor. Because, I mean, like, we went to the Loveland Castle, and even... You know, it's not a small place, but it's definitely not a large place. And there was, 25-30 mm-hmm. of us? And it's almost impossible.
It was still too much. But yeah. It was an event,
Because, you know, if you separate them into different rooms and stuff, even if they're not talking, the walking of the old places, you know, creaking and,
yeah,
and footsteps.
Yeah.
And there's just so much else that goes on.
Well, I'll give you a really good example of this. Ghost Hunters, I think it was last season, they did the Buffalo Train Depot.
Mm-hmm.
They brought like three investigators and Jason and Grant. So there was a total of five people.
Uh-huh.
This place was huge. There's no way five people could have covered that building.
Oh, no, absolutely.
In a month, let alone two nights. So, I mean, I think that's one of our responsibilities as founders and lead investigators is to look at the situation, look where we're going, and say, you know, I probably could use a few extra hands here,
right,
to make sure we cover everything.
Right. Need a good ratio.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go on to number four.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get so serious there,
yeah,
Chris.
Don't get serious. It's a lighter side. I keep looking for the spider, by the way. Okay, number four, asking permission to investigate a site is for amateurs. The real diehard ghost hunters don't care. Break in if you have to. It's in the name of science, after all.
I completely agree. And if there's a lock on the door, bring your bolt cutters.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say, I was extremely disappointed in one group where the founder had asked if I could get permission for them to go to a certain place, and unfortunately it was too late in the day. I couldn't contact the people, and they said, oh, it's okay, we'll just jump the fence.
Wow.
No, you're not going to do that because you're in my town. You know,
yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
going to stand for that. It's, you know, I don't care if you investigate. I just could not get a hold of the person. It was after hours, you know, but I would have been more than happy to do that had they given me better notice.
Mm-hmm.
But don't tell me you're going to end up going in without permission.
Who's trying to go on an investigation? You know, it's not like I'm sitting here and say, ooh, you know what? I want to go investigate the downtown county building right now.
Well, kind of.
What's
sometimes.
Up with that?
Yeah. Well, that's how this particular group functioned.
Well, there's enough ghost towns in every state that if that's how you wanted to do it, you could go do that. And there's no trespassing issues there.
Right. Right. But yeah. So that's like a huge problem. Number five, do not do any sort of research on the site before you go. It is much better if you go in not knowing what the claims are or what to expect. I think minimal research. You know, I don't like to know a lot because I think it's that power of suggestion.
Exactly.
But you do need to know if there's any safety hazards.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can think of one place we went where a fire had been set and there was a huge hole in the floor.
Yeah.
That's kind of important to know.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of information about like that would help.
Yeah.
It was a big hole.
Yeah.
Even I would fit in it.
I bet we could drive the rascal over it, though.
Put a couple planks down.
Good God, guys. Oh, this rascal thing is not going to die.
Oh, no, I like it.
I love it.
So, okay, that was preparing for a ghost hunt. 5 points. Okay. Now we're going to go into use of equipment, and there is 10 points on this one. And the first one is, never warn a ghost that you are going to take a picture. It is much better to surprise them. If you say flash or give any sort of warning, they will run off.
I still am trying to figure out where this whole flash thing came from.
Because I
have done a lot of tours, and I've actually had to tell people, okay, here's a couple of rules. One, don't whisper. Two, don't say flash. There's a couple of reasons. One, when someone is in the dark and you hear a noise, what is the first thing you do?
Look.
So you have somebody saying flash. So now you've warned them that you're going to blind them, and they're going to probably stare right at your camera.
It's just like when they say, don't look over here. What?
Yeah. What? You know? And it also destroys EVPs. I don't know how many times I've gone over audio, and all I'm hearing is, flash, flash, flash. Like, well, we got some perverted guy wearing a raincoat? What the hell's going on?
No, that's a flasher, Tom.
Oh, sorry. I get the two confused, you know.
Learn the terminology.
Well, and there are certain groups that is, or at least was, I don't know anymore, that you had to say that prior to taking a picture. I hated it. I could never remember, you know. So I just worked with someone where, you know, we were always kind of tried to break up. I mean, they put us in groups of eight, and there'd be like two of us that go off, two or three of us. And we knew how to work together where we didn't have to say flash.
Yeah. I think the only benefit from it would be possibly that if you were taking a picture and, you know, in a very split second, I took one at the same time, and it wouldn't get any bleed over from the glasses.
Well, but hence, that's a difference between people who are careless and people who work well together.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I'm assuming that's where a lot of that generated from.
It could
from.
Be. So, you know, the flash thing generated from what, a bunch of idiots?
Well, I didn't say that, but...
So it came off a paranormal state?
Be careful now.
I know. We don't need anybody else getting mad on chat.
They may be lurking.
No, the only other thing I could think of that would be kind of cool is if you said flash and you got an EVP said, ow, that hurt. you know.
Or my eyes.
My eyes, yeah.
The only other thing that I think you should do is if you're going to take pictures of people, just say, hey, guys, I'm going to take a picture your way. Just wanted to let you know. And give them a second to look at you and look away.
I guess that would be common courtesy. I just tell people, you know what? It's just a hazard of being a ghost hunter. Your eyeballs are going to be burnt by the end of the night if you take a lot of pictures. Just get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, moving on. Number two, orbs are great evidence of paranormal phenomenon. Don't use night vision. Not only are these cameras expensive, but they also can't capture orbs. Use a very bright flash or spotlight to capture these ghosts.
Oh, I completely agree. Especially if you're outdoors. I'm telling you what, you want to get a lot of spiritual orb photographs, go stand outside in a snowstorm. Oh. My God!
And they're so bright!
We went to a place, was it last year? We went to Ashmore.
No, it was a couple of years ago. Okay. Get with the program.
Yeah, it was very dry. It had been very dry out. And on the same property, they had horses. And I'm telling you, you take a picture, and it was nothing but blizzard.
Yeah.
And actually throughout the whole investigation through the house or the building that we went through, you know, there was just so much dust around.
Yeah, I there's a location that we've been going to. It's an old mill factory or a wool factory where they made wool blankets and stuff. This place hasn't been used in 15 years, and it is just dirty. And I've been taking some people on tours, and people are kind of, well, look at this bright orb. I'm like, oh, my God. There's windows that have been busted out. There's bugs flying everywhere. I don't know why people keep sending me and showing me these pictures.
Yeah, we were outside. We were outside on a hot summer night.
Yeah. It's like the guy that sent me a picture of a cave, that they took a photograph of a cave, and in it he actually says, yeah, it was raining at the time. Do you think that increases the activity?
Mm-hmm. I think you have a better shot at getting orbs.
Yeah.
That shoot up. See? Because rain, when you photograph, it looks like it is shooting up. And I love it when people say, no, that's not rain because, look, it's going towards the sky. Oh, it's like, yeah. Oh.
Angie in the chat room.
How can you tell it's a photograph?
Yeah.
Angie in the chat room says, take a pic out of a car window when you're leaving a cemetery. They follow you.
Yes.
And not unless you've done your prayers and you said, don't follow me home before you leave.
They're just seeing you to the gate.
Yeah,
they're just making sure you're leaving. Just, you know, you're trespassing.
Okay, so number three, never take a tripod. They're too bulky and they will slow you down.
That's true.
Keep moving when you're taking pictures. Never take two shots of the same spot. Most gunters...
Gunters?
Gunters. Hi, Gunter. Hi, Gunter. You, Gunter.
She's still got Prespo in her brain.
Most ghosts.
I think she needs a helmet.
Oh, I like it.
Okay, most ghost hunters.
Or gunters. We like to say words around here. You know, you just put them together.
No, see,
it's a Tomism. It's a Tomism.
Well, we call it Baker speak.
Yeah.
But
okay.
But seriously, that's how lazy I am. I can't even read two words. I just throw them together. Most ghost hunters have a nice, steady hand, so they won't have to worry about the camera jiggling.
You know what? I completely agree with this one, Chris, because some of the best ghost pictures I've ever seen have always been blurry.
Oh, yes. And that's just the high energy of the ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the fact that it's not on a tripod. Or, was it a couple of Fridays ago, you and I Mike and I were talking with, I think Greg was on the show, and we were showing this picture of this girl that took a picture, and there's a ghost standing behind her.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, it was with a camera phone.
Yeah.
And my comment was, how interesting, they can all take crystal clear pictures of the camera phone of their cleavage, but if there's a ghost standing behind them, it's blurry as all hell.
Yeah. And you know, so many people out there go, oh, it's dark. I think I'll put my camera on night shot mode.
Yeah.
And not use a tripod, not realizing that, you know, the aperture stays open longer.
Yeah.
So you can't be moving around, or it's going to create false positive photos. All right.
Well, that's just a good way to, you know, put it on my website and make more people go to my website saying, wow, look at all these ghost pictures these guys caught. Oh. I honestly think I need to go on an investigation and do all the things and fake it all and show, you know, this is how we faked it.
Pee-pee.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so number four here is kind of, hey. Number four is kind of, get down. The same, Mike, stay off the desk. Okay, number four. Set your,
I was going to start throwing dollar bills.
I don't know what the hell you talking about.
It was the cat.
I know.
Number four, set your shutter speed at a slow speed. Ghosts move very fast, so you will need to slow the shutter speeds. This is especially helpful for capturing rods and paranormal ribbons.
Hmm.
What the hell is a paranormal ribbon?
It's one that the ghost puts in her hair.
Oh, okay.
It's those pinpoint lights that get stretched out and they're colorful. You know,
oh, you mean the glares off of flashlights.
That, or even a street light when you have it on slow shutter speed, that's even...
Oh, okay.
Those are paranormal ribbons.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah. So again, slower shutter speeds happens in night mode. People think it's dark, time to use night mode, and they don't understand.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Number five, bring crystals, Ouija boards...
I'm not bringing crystal.
Crystals.
I don't want to bring a demon on an investigation.
Ouija boards and dowsing rods, you never know when they might be helpful.
Yeah, you might get thirsty or, you know,
Well, you know, dowsing rods work great if you put a hot dog on them over fire.
You know what? They're also really good back scratchers.
You know, exactly. You know, so the Prasco will be set up with some dowsing rods.
Oh, yes, one at the
I'm not going to do any dowsing, but I'll sure cook me some hot dogs or, yeah, back scratcher.
Some s'mores.
Because that's how we got in the condition of needing to use the Prasco.
Prasco is way too many hot dogs and s'mores.
Yeah, buddy, but it was good.
All right, moving right along.
Yeah, because I don't want to get into the Ouija board thing, because that'll just take us the rest of the day.
Yeah. Number six, bring an EMF detector, a K2 if you can. If you see the numbers go up, you have a ghost, and ghosts like to communicate through them.
Isn't that how they're supposed to work?
The K2s?
Yeah, aren't they supposed to go up?
I don't know. I think...
We have a defective one.
Yeah.
It don't work.
Yeah.
It don't work.
Nah, uh-uh. They didn't install the ghost when they shipped it or something.
Oh, you have to make sure, too, that if you're using a K2, whoever's holding it has a really good ability of lifting their thumb up off and on.
Yes.
That's the trick.
Yeah, don't ever use a penny in it or a dime.
No, don't want to do that.
No.
Because, you know, the human contact with the K2 is what makes it work.
Yeah.
The energy.
I've heard that. That's what's sad. All right. Number seven. When doing an EVP session, make sure you whisper. You wouldn't want your voice accidentally caught on tape. Keep the conversation moving. Don't pause too long in between questions. Never videotape an EVP session. It is a waste of film. If you have an audio recording, anything more is overkill.
Yeah, you know, because getting to the whole, you know, leaving time in between questions, I like to follow the Ferris Bueller history teacher lesson when it comes to EVP questions. Anyone?
Yeah.
Is there anyone here? Anyone?
Yeah.
Can you tell me your name? Anyone? Anyone here that would like to tell me your name? Anyone? Can you tell me what year it is? Anyone? Anyway, that's how I do my EVP sessions. And I get hundreds of EVPs.
Yes, it's probably somebody whispering going, does the guy ever shut up?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Actually, I do get that audio.
But yeah, I think videotaping an EVP session is so important because if someone's moving around, like there's so many things that we filter out naturally that the video camera doesn't filter out.
Oh, I never used more than one piece of audio equipment on an EVP session.
Oh, yeah.
Never.
That's definitely
okay. That's bad.
Because now you got to listen to it twice.
Yeah. Why would you want to do that?
Because if you don't get something on one, you sure ain't going to get anything on anything else.
No. And I mean, what type of great evidence would that be is if you actually caught an EVP on two separate pieces of audio equipment?
Yeah,
you could play it in stereo.
Yeah, why would you want that?
Don't ever do that. Don't ever. No. It'll scare them away. It intimidates them.
And while you're doing the audio, get the dowsing rods out. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the more that the ghost has to do, the better chances you're going to have of getting to communicate with it.
Oh, see, now I thought you were going to say the more you talk, the thirstier you get, and you may need to find water.
Oh, yeah, that too. Take one of the dowsing rods and hook it to the audio equipment. Because that, you know, that copper in the dowsing rod can actually act as an enhancer.
And if you're standing still, you know how as soon as you stand still, you know, it's like if you, have your arm in a sling, all of a sudden your other shoulder's itchy. So it's the same thing. You may get an itchy back and you'll need the dowsing rod to get that spot.
That's
just right. all right, here we go. If you...
One last thing, Chris.
Oh, please.
When you're doing the EVP sessions, make sure that your audio device... and your arm is fully extended all the way out.
Oh, yes. Most definitely. Why the hell is that?
I don't know. Have you seen The Death of a Ghost Hunter yet?
No. You keep telling me I need to. Haven't
you? You got to watch it. It's if you have Netflix, you can watch it instantly now. But the lady who's apparently the paranormal investigator is walking around with her arm fully stretched out and her audio device kind of above her head. Holding it in the air, asking her EVP questions. Well, I'm like, dude, if I was to do that for the 8 hours I'm on a ghost hunt, my arms would be dead.
We seen somebody else do that on a television show. I don't want to say the name because it's, you know, I don't hate the person. I just thought it was very kind of bizarre. I don't understand. You see a lot of people doing that, completely outstretched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's because they hover.
So, you know, people with broken, people with broken arms would be the best ghost hunters. Because they can't, like, bend their arm if they're in a cast, you know, if it's, like, a bodysuit or something, they can hold their arms.
I'm lazy. I usually stick mine in a pocket. I don't want to carry this damn thing around. I got a K2 in my hand, a camera. Where the hell am I going to put a piece of audio? Let's hang it around my neck so it bounces off my chest through the whole thing, and I get this all night long.
Tom, that's the ghost clapping for you.
Oh, that explains it.
Yeah.
They're like, good job. That's when you're running.
And then I have this giant bruise on my chest, and I can tell people a ghost hit me.
Yes, exactly.
There we go.
Well, we're getting this all figured out today.
What's the next one?
All right, if you can't find equipment that will do what you want, build your own. There is no need to waste time constructing scientific testing to evaluate the tool. If it lights up, is shiny, or makes cool noises, it works.
Bingo.
Oh, yeah, I like that, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, I think if you could build something like, I don't know, a Prasky,
a Praskle.
That could actually enhance your paranormal experience, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm also the guy who walks into Walmart and says, huh, I wonder what I could use that on a ghost hunt.
Okay, and this one kind of ties in to the kind of the one before it. If one of the television Ghostbusters uses a new tool, don't waste any time getting it. These shows have hundreds of highly paid researchers to look for new gear. If they use it, it must work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I watch the shows.
Yeah.
I want to see what new toy they're going to be using.
Yep. And then, you know, because it has to
work. I run out and buy it because I'm making $10,000 per guest appearance.
Damn, I'm in a lot of debt to you. All right. Number 10 on, we are doing the, and we'll finish this one and go to commercial break, Mike.
Yeah.
This is using your equipment. Number 10, if you can't get the equipment to work the way TAPS does, then you must be doing something wrong. So keep trying. In fact, you should spend the majority of your time trying to duplicate the same cool results they get.
Oh, yeah. Because everybody's got a thermal camera.
Yeah.
I got two.
Cool.
Oh, my gosh. This cat is being crazy today.
Crazy shine.
So that's the equipment portion. Again, this is Sherry Esperon, the Milwaukee Paranormal Examiner, How Not to Be a Ghost Hunter, a tongue-in-cheek guide. She's done a fantastic job on this. And then we're going to go to break, and coming back, we're going to be talking about developing your investigative style.
There you go. And you are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network and simulcasted on Free Time Radio at freetimeradio.com.
We're less than a month away from the 4th Annual Paranormal Meet and Greet in Indianapolis at the Hanna House. Time and location of the event, Saturday, August 8th, 2009, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46227. You can visit the Hanna website at www.thehannamansion.org. Booths and admission are free. We're looking for teams that would like to be added to the host list and would like to help out to work the event. We're needing an army of people to help. If a team or individual are interested in sponsoring the event, we're only asking for a $100 donation. Your information will be added to all the advertising and sent out to our media contacts naming you as a sponsor. If you'd like to sponsor the event, please contact Danielle Garrison at dgarrison@crossroadsparanormal.com. You will receive a receipt for your donation, and all proceeds will be given to the Hanna House. We'll also need you to go to dgarrison@crossroadsparanormal.com with your information to be added to the website and advertising for the event. This year, the Hanna House will be holding a yard sale to coincide with the event. Don't miss out on your opportunity to find your treasure to take home from the historic haunted Hanna House.
Join Residual Hauntings live every Wednesday night at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Residual Hauntings Live will bring you the best of the best, and not to mention, the Paranormal Ninja. So wind your Wednesday down with Residual Hauntings Live at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Join Chris and Mike Baker for Crossroads Paranormal Radio every Sunday night at 8:30 Eastern for great weird locations, weird news, and great conversations. Crossroads Paranormal Radio, breathing life into the paranormal community every Sunday night, 8:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hey, psst, kid, come here. You're looking for a paranormal fix, aren't you? Well, look, check it out. What you need to do, go on over to www.asprn.com. Tell them Mikey sent you. Wink twice, knock twice. When you click on it, hit the chat live. Go into the chat room. Yeah. You'll find your fix there.
Yeah, that's right. We are back.
Hey, Mikey sent me.
Did he send you?
Yeah.
All right.
There's days I'd like to send Mikey somewhere.
Now, why would that be?
Huh.
What have I done to you?
What haven't you done to me?
Wait. This PG show.
Oh. No. Oh, ew. That's Natney. Ew. All right, here we go. Developing your investigative style, we are carrying on with How Not to Be a Ghost Hunter, a Tongue-in-Cheek Guide by Sherry Esperon, the Milwaukee Paranormal Examiner from examiner.com, Chicago.
And I tell you what, she was a fantastic guest when she was on our show.
Yeah.
So, Chris, before you say anything, I want to tell you a little bit about my style. I like a nice pressed shirt, Dockers, penny loafers, you know.
Yeah.
Wrong style?
Hmm. Are you preaching or are you hunting?
Oh, you're sorry. You're
and
right.
Actually, we will get to that. That's actually covered in this article. All right, so here we go. Developing your investigative style, number one. You don't get a television show for nothing. These people on TV know their stuff. If they do it, there is no need to question. Never question the pros. They know what they're doing. You really don't need to know why they're doing something.
Well, that just, you know, I can never say anything about Chip Coffee ever again.
That's right.
It says, if paranormal state, then that should be enough for you.
So all righty then.
Gospel. Do not question the pros. Okay. you know, I know there's been a lot of recreation of certain events on different shows, and I think that's fantastic. I don't think it's a slap in the face. I think it's trying to understand and look at things from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you need to do. Okay, number two. Oh, the best answers for paranormal activity is usually the most irrational. When explaining paranormal activity, don't let skeptics try to throw logic into the mix. And always give a full explanation, such as how the ghost was feeling, what they were thinking, and so on.
I'm sorry, I'm just... yeah, because logic has nothing to do with this.
No, nothing. Throw it, check it at the door.
Well, why would we want to be logical? It makes no sense to me.
Hmm. See, there you go questioning things. Why?
I'm sorry. You're right, Chris. I apologize.
So I guess I have to end up staying at the front door, sitting in my Prasco, watching Ghostbusters on my plasma.
Man, you've got one huge Prasco.
Yeah.
I'm a huge guy. I got that little wide load side on the back of it.
I'm just afraid that all it would look like is that I have four tires coming out of my ass.
Well, I'm just worried about Mike's Prasco. It's got like marine size batteries on it.
Hey, man, you got to be prepared for everything.
Well, you can't be running that Prasco when we're doing EVP.
Yeah, it's just not going to work. Although that could be ambient sound,
yes,
and we all know white noise does help.
There
EVPs.
You go.
God. Okay, moving along. Use your instincts. Your first impression is usually right. Don't dig around trying to find explanations for something. Remember, your test is taking advice from school. The first answer you choose is generally correct.
Oh, yeah. That door just opened and closed. Oh, my God. Doug just came walking in. I know, but the door just opened and closed. Doug did that. I know, but the door just opened and closed.
But technically, you're not wrong, because the door did open and close.
I just, yeah. You know, it yeah. wasn't a ghost that did it. But, you know, let's get excited over that.
Yes, trust your first instinct.
That's right.
Number four, think on your feet. Never pause to evaluate a situation. Chances are you will miss your opportunity to capture a ghost. If you hear a noise, run blindly toward it. Don't pause to think about what might be the source. Besides, you're totally safe. It is just you and your friends in the abandoned building. What could possibly go wrong?
So that's why I carry a 9mm. Because I do run towards the noises.
You know, and my biggest fear is, like, homeless people living in these buildings, or worse, raccoons or, you know, animals.
So a raccoon to you is scarier than a homeless person?
I have seen some...
They're pretty mean.
Some big butt raccoons. I used to work security at a factory and had to do outdoor in Canada. And I tell you what, man, this big mama raccoon with her, she had her babies up top. I didn't see them, but big mama raccoon jumped down in front of me. And, you know, I don't even think I peed a little. I peed a lot. And that was some scary crap. I've encountered, you know, people in those warehouses, but the raccoon, that scared me worse than people. I can reason with a person. I can't reason with a raccoon.
Yeah, because, you know, and going back to this, you know, I mean, obviously, you're the only people in that building. It's the only possible thing.
Yeah.
Who else would be in there?
No animals, no nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, there can't be. Just you and the ghosts.
Yep. Here we go. Number five, and this is really important for you, Tom.
Uh-oh.
Don't ever get bogged down on researching other people's theories. Develop your own and stick with it. If someone questions you, make something up or confuse them or throw some technical sounding terms at them. Try to create your own phrases, you know, like Gunter's, by combining technical and new age terms. I lost my spot. Don't worry if you don't understand what you're saying. No one else will either, and you will look very smart. Remember, you are the paranormal expert. Make sure you let everyone know that.
That's right.
Why are you saying this is for me?
Well, because you need to do these things.
Oh. I need to actually start making things up?
Well, you know, it says don't research other people's theories.
Oh, okay.
You know, and make sure people...
I don't anyway. I have my own theory, so it's simple
as that. Well, and as long as you stick to them.
And Tom's got a theory about everything we know.
And, you know, yeah.
I'm starting to feel a little hurt here. What the hell?
It's okay, Tom. I think it's really funny because I've seen this a lot where people are coined the paranormal expert. Do they realize they are the expert in the unknown?
Well, yeah. And I have never ever called myself an expert.
No, you haven't.
If it's unknown,
and this is
an
experience that I've had.
Yeah, I just love it though. I am experienced in the unknown. What are you doing?
Playing.
Well, stop! It's popping my ears every time you do it.
Oh.
You know, yeah. I am the expert in nothing.
Yeah, your theory is absolutely wrong. No, I can't believe that.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Here's one that I'm sure we'll get. And I haven't read through these, so if I start cussing, it's because this is probably something probably something that's going to get me on a soapbox. It's dealing with clients. And again, guys, I do want to say that this is How Not to Be a Ghost Hunter, a Tongue-in-Cheek Guide by Sherry Esperon. Okay, dealing with clients. Number one, try to always keep in mind that the client has no idea what is going on. Don't waste time talking with them or getting their opinion. If you do have to interact with your client, don't ask a bunch of personal questions. It isn't any of your business what is going on in their lives. Never ask about drug or alcohol abuse, histories, mental illnesses, recent stresses, or other personal information. In fact, never ask questions. Let them tell you what they want to. Not only is this much more professional, but asking a bunch of questions will only encourage them to bug you.
You know, this just reminds me of the movie Ghostbusters, where they're interviewing the librarian.
Yeah.
And the questions he's asking her.
Yeah.
Are you menstruating right now?
Yeah.
What has that got to do with it? You know? I mean, but seriously, don't be afraid to ask some very simple questions.
But you know what? I think that, and it's terrible because I think it is almost a legit question, because I have this whole theory of, you know, how poltergeists say it's, what are you looking at? Okay. I thought there was another spider. How poltergeists, a lot of times it's teenage girls due to the hormonal changes. Well, there's hormonal changes when you menstruate, and there's hormonal changes when you go through menopause.
Yeah.
So I think these are important questions. I really do. I'm sorry. I think we might find maybe some kind of relationship between the two. Because let's face it, most of the people that contact us are women.
Mm-hmm.
That have had the paranormal experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I think it's just very, very interesting.
And I've always felt that women are more in tune.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, and I've said this, you know, when I did this when I was 16, 17 years old, it was a bunch of guys. Now I have, I think, 4 guys on my team, and the rest are girls.
Well, I want you guys to think about this. Think about when you are looking for something and you ask your wife, where is it? And she usually can find it. Knows where it is. It's because we have a uterus. It's a home finding device.
Whatever.
And, yeah, seriously. That's why we can find things.
I just thought it was some sort of medieval torture device for men.
No, it's the home finding device that every woman, you know, has. That's why we can find things and, you know, are probably see things better and hear things better than men. It's the uterus. It has nothing to do with, you know.
Huh.
Hearing loss or anything like that. Yeah. Cat, get down. Also, they were talking about... Oh, I do want to say something, and I thought this was kind of interesting, where it says you know, don't ask a bunch of questions. It isn't your business. Let them tell you what they want to. I agree to that to an extent, though, like on all seriousness. I think when you first start to do the interview, that you let them tell you their whole story in their own words. Don't ask any questions. I've seen it time and time again where people have a set list of questions and that's all they ask. What you need to do is let them tell their accounts first so that you're not, you know, encouraging answers that maybe aren't true.
And you should always record your interviews.
Yes. And I think what you should do is base the questions off of what they tell you. I mean, they could say, you know, well, every night at 10 o'clock, there's this really bad smell coming from my husband's chair, da-da-da-da-da. And that's when you can ask them, you know, well, what does it smell like?
Well, it smells like sweaty ass. He's had a couple of beers and some beans for dinner. Is that okay?
That's their damn
smells right there. And trust me, I am an expert and a professional ghost hunter, so I know this is true.
And it could explain the fog.
And that the sudden death surrounding the room.
Number two.
I also, you know, Chris, I never really did this until I heard you say it.
What's that?
Going through medicine cabinets. I never even thought of that.
Well,
and while you're investigating, you're wandering through somebody's home.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking you to check out their house. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with looking and see if they are taking any sort of medication
now,
that could affect them.
The one thing is asking them, is there anything or anywhere that you don't want me to go? And I'm not saying I like pick up their medicine bottles. I like open the medicine cabinet and look.
Yeah.
I'm not removing any medication. I'm not touching prescription medication. I'm just simply looking.
See, now I've asked that question, is there anywhere that you don't want us to go? And I've had one lady give me the response, well, you can't go in this room.
Mm-hmm.
That's our sex torture room.
Yeah.
And
ooh, I wouldn't want to go there anyway.
Yeah, I just didn't want to go there, but
I'm going to give a tip here about medicine cabinets, because some people are probably going, oh God, that's horrible. You know, you shouldn't open someone's medicine cabinet. This is my theory behind it, and this is how it all started, to be honest with you. It's not something that I thought, oh, I'm going to sit and dig through people's medicine cabinet to see what they're on. It was something that happened by accident. I was in a bathroom, and of course, going by the theory that two mirrors facing each other can cause like a portal, an opening. And I was in a bathroom where they believed they had paranormal activity. I still have the video of the toilet. But what had happened is I opened the medicine cabinet, because there was a mirror on it, to see if the two mirrors would create a portal. You know what I mean? Like if they opened it and left it open or whatever, is that maybe how they're experiencing this activity or whatever? And that's when I did notice some medication in their medicine cabinet. So it was strictly like an honest investigative thing. It wasn't like I was digging through their stuff. So that's how that all came about. I was just checking to see if the mirror, you know, was equal with the other mirror.
You were just looking for something to take home.
Yeah, that's it.
She needed her paranormal fix.
So here we go. Number two, if a client does start to bug you, ask annoying questions about why you do something or stuff like that. It is easy to shut them up by simply asking, don't you watch Ghost Hunters? If they did, they would know what you were doing. And if they don't, well, they're beyond help.
That's one of the things we do ask is, do you watch that stuff?
Yeah.
Because back to the power of suggestion.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I have to say, a majority of the time the people that call me is, you know, well, we never thought anything was going on until we started watching these shows on TV. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Then our minds start racing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be that they saw something on TV and now they're kind of relating what happened to them to what happened on television, which is a possibility. But it also could be the power of suggestion, exactly.
Well, and there are people out there, you know, there's all these TAPS family members, you know, like this group is a member of the TAPS family, yada, yada, yada. And I've seen it happen.
Did you put your fingers in the quote when you did that?
Yes, I did.
I'm a TAPS family affiliate.
Yeah. and I've seen it happen where people have submitted investigation requests because we had a TAPS family member that would send them to us here in Indiana if they had any from Indiana, and the person, you know, was going on about what was happening in their house, but as soon as they found out Jason and Grant would not be coming, they didn't they stopped responding. So I think a lot of them are just trying to get on TV.
Yeah, and we are not TAPS family members.
No, we are not TAPS family members.
No, there was one that came to my con last year, and she literally was, well, we're the TAPS family affiliate the entire time. Whenever she would say anything or ask any question, it was always started off with, well, we're the TAPS family affiliate. Like,
glow?
I'm supposed to automatically think that they're professionals, yeah, and they're the best out there because they belong to TAPS.
Yeah.
Did they have any glow around them?
No, but they did have the TAPS logo on the back of their vehicle.
And there was angels walking around them going, ah. All right. Number three. Dun, dun, dun. Make sure you state your rates up front and always collect payment before you start investigating.
Well, hell yeah.
Only amateurs do an investigation for free. The only exception to this is if you are trying for a TAPS family membership, then you have to work for free because they say so. But don't worry. You will still make a ton of money doing personal appearances when you are accepted as a member. Did you know that recently autographs of TAPS members sold for $35 each? You do the math.
Don't even get me started there.
Oh, but I did.
Okay.
Balls out there.
What'd you say?
Balls out there.
No, I'm telling you.
I thought you were saying something vulgar. I'm like, what? Okay, go ahead.
I have recently came across a group here in Utah that is saying that they're asking for donations to investigate your home. They're not saying that you have to pay, but they're highly suggesting if you would like us to come and investigate your home, we would appreciate a donation to do this.
So no donate, no investigate.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure that it's the, well, the bigger your donation is,
the more evidence you get.
Yeah, or the sooner we're going to come.
Well, but how do they claim these donations on taxes?
You know, I'm not quite sure, but if they've filed a nonprofit and it's a donation.
But did they file a nonprofit with the state or with federal?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there's so many questions I have about that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, but.
Sorry.
And then the personal appearances.
The what?
The personal appearances, you know, charging to go and to a con or, yeah, no, you know, oh yeah, I'll talk at your con for $10,000.
Yeah. Hey,
it's so wrong. It is so wrong. I'm okay with someone trying to make a living as a public speaker if they're good at it. I, for one, think that I'm pretty good at public speaking. I would never, ever charge someone $10,000 for me to go stand in their room for an hour and talk to them about what I do.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
We have to have scruples, people. What if and that's what it comes down to.
What if it was offered to you?
I actually have been offered, I think the most money I've ever made giving a public a public presentation was a $125 dinner that I got for free.
Now, see, if someone said, depending on where it is, if it's out of state, you know, we'll pay for your hotel room, that's great. You know, we don't
help me get there and put me somewhere. But I can sleep on somebody's couch. I don't care.
Yeah, we don't even ask for that. We just don't ask for that. If someone says, you know what, we want you to come speak, we will pay for your hotel. And, you know, I don't even care about my meals. But, you know, if they'll want to pay for my hotel, that's fantastic. That's it. That's, you know, that's great. That's all I need.
I do something for the Boys and Girls Club every year, and they give me $25 for gas. I'm not asking for
it. No, we don't ask for anything.
They give me a $25 gas card, and I do it every year for the Boys and Girls Club. And I have anywhere from last year I had I think, 75 kids there at this presentation. This year, they're probably going to have close to 100.
Well, this is getting me on a soapbox now because it's something that kind of bothers me. How do people justify, like these people that have a lot of cons and conventions and stuff, how do they justify paying somebody $10,000 to come speak and someone else nothing at the same time? Like the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Expecting you to give the same amount of time to them.
They're rating you.
And, okay, but no, don't give somebody $10,000 and someone else that maybe has a better, more interesting presentation than the person you'd paid $10,000 for.
Mm-hmm. I did a con 2 years ago for the first time here in Utah. Mm-hmm. I did a little one-hour lecture on basic ghost hunting. Mm-hmm. So I played some of my EVPs, answered questions, and, right. Had a good time.
Yeah.
They were actually going to charge me the ticket price to do this.
Yes.
I said, no, wait a minute. So I'm coming and supporting you, and you want me to pay for a ticket.
Yeah.
No. I can come for the hour, and I will leave. And finally, somebody says, no. We'll just give you a day pass. You can hang out if you'd like.
Well, yeah.
And they contacted me this year because my lecture, they said that they had more people in my little lecture than they had in any of the other non-famous people. It was like I can't even think of the term. The big names that they brought, mm-hmm. Other than them, my lecture had more people in it than the others that had just shown up.
See, now this year is when you say, okay, you need to pay me $500 to come speak at your conference.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I know, but I'm just saying because of, and we've heard that this happens at other places too. We've heard of, they had one this year somewhere. I can't think which one it was, but the speakers paid for their tables and all that kind of stuff as well, which that's just totally wrong.
I was going to say that. We have... paid for a booth and then apparently wasn't allowed to supposedly watch a certain segment because we didn't pay extra.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't know. The other thing I love, too, is, we get contact and it can be things like, we would love for you and Mike to come and broadcast live at our event, which we think is cool. We do not charge for that. But I love it when they say, and the tables are only $35 a piece. No, we're donating airtime. It's not like we're, and I'll tell anybody that, we're nothing. We are Mike and Chris from Rocket,
Indiana.
I have
done radio. And if you're a radio station and one of your sponsors wants a live broadcast at their location, they have to pay the time for the DJ who's there, the time for the engineer,
and airtime.
And a promotional cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you are selling their product on their airtime.
Right. And, we don't charge anything. We do not. It's, Now, granted, if someone said, we'd really appreciate it. We'll give you $20 to help offset the cost of, the airtime or, travel time or whatever. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I will not turn down money, but I will not go up front with it.
No, I will not turn down anybody offering to pay me.
We've never had to.
Be stupid. Yeah, we've never had that where we've had.
Well,
you're
right, but still, yeah.
But I did notice, where there's been things where they have paid seriously $5,000, $10,000 for a speaker, and didn't even have the decency to offer us $5 for gas. How is that justifiable?
I agree. And if you go to my website, on my website, I actually have there, a link for guest speaker where I've actually put up there saying, this is my experience. I'm willing to come and talk to any of your lectures or whatever at a small fee, and that usually is the cost of getting me to the location if it's out of the state.
Yeah.
And I think that's only fair.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand, especially, like I said, we know... and there's one particular person that comes to mind, actually a couple of them, that if they charge, it's very, very minimal. Their presentations are a lot more entertaining and informative than some of the people that are getting top dollar for this. And now there's people that are aligning themselves with talent agents.
That's another thing. Yeah. You've got to contact my agent. You can't contact me. You've got to contact my agent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, I'm like, when did you become a star?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole annoying thing. It really is.
It is. And it really ticks me off because I think it is really degrading the paranormal field.
You know, now that Jennifer Aniston's psychic, maybe I can get her to be my agent. Yeah.
Whatever. All right.
Might just want to appear with her.
Moving along.
Love scene, whatever.
Okay, dealing with clients. Again, this is How Not to Be a Ghost Hunter, a tongue-in-cheek guide by Sherry Esperon. All right, dealing with clients. Number four, always try to sell your client a paranormal cleansing while you're there. Even TAPS members can charge for this one. It's very easy to do. Just burn some white sage, say a few prayers, and sprinkle some holy water around. It is guaranteed to get rid of the ghosts and will make your team extra money. So it's a total win-win situation.
I didn't know that's how you did a cleansing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. I've never done a cleansing, so I'm not sure.
Well, and I can't afford white sage, so can I just buy, like, the sage from the dollar store?
I thought it was a bottle of Dawn in a bucket.
No, that's maid cleaning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, lemon pledge, you know?
Yeah.
The lemon helps cleanse. I don't know. Number five, don't ever give a client the a copy of the evidence.
Oh, why would you want to do that?
Well, because they may sell it or use it to write a book and will take all your glory.
I have a little tiny restaurant that's in a small town here in Utah that I wouldn't investigate it. These people are the nicest people you will ever meet. I love the lady to death. And we had a lot of activity the first night we were there, the first investigation we did. I handed her a CD of all the EVPs that we caught, the good ones, the bad ones, the hard-to-hear ones. She actually made a copy of them, turn them into an audio CD, and sells them for $3 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make any money off of that. Am I pissed about it? No, because she actually says that she got it from us.
Right. Mm. It's advertising.
Yeah.
It is advertising.
Okay, let me finish the statement. Get off soapbox for a second. Okay, so you captured the evidence using your equipment, so you have the sole rights to it and can use it whenever and wherever you wish. When you do post evidence, make sure you include all the important facts, time and date it was captured, exact address, where you caught it, and if you can, post GPS coordinates so other people can find the haunted site. The only time you should not do this is when there are other teams in the area, which is going to lead us to our next point. And with that, I think it's time for a commercial break.
I have so much evidence that I have not posted because the client has asked me not to.
Exactly. Well, and
that's all that needs to be said.
People get mad at us because they don't understand why we don't post maybe cemetery addresses and stuff like that, or we don't post the exact cemetery name on our website, and I will not do that. It's not because I'm afraid someone else is going to take it. I just want to help. I don't want to be contributing to vandalism or trespassing.
Yeah.
So with that said, Mike, are we ready to take a
break?
We
are.
Okay. And
yeah, because I need to take a big, long breath.
And when we come back, we are going to be talking still about How Not to Be a Ghost Hunter, a tongue-in-cheek guide by Sherry Esperon. And we are going to carry on with this, and we're getting ready to wrap it down, I think. We've got working with other teams, still evidence, and putting together and promoting your team. So with a half an hour left, Tom, we're going to have to try and bite our tongues and just kind of hammer through it.
Suck it up and go on. So
with that said.
Yes, you are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the ASPRN Radio Network and freetimeradio.com, and we will be right back.
Annual convergence of paranormal groups to meet in Indianapolis. Hosts have announced the 4th annual Paranormal Meet and Greet on Saturday, August 8, 2009 in Indianapolis at the historic Haunted Hannah Mansion located at 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana. The event will begin at 12 p.m. and last until 4 p.m., open to the public, and admission is free. This event will be held at the Haunted Hannah Mansion, where one tragic night a group of slaves cramped into a dirt floor cellar sat waiting for the right time to leave their hiding spot at the Hannah House and head for freedom in Canada on the Underground Railroad. One of them unknowingly tipped over an oil lamp, instantly igniting a fire, trapping them for eternity. The dead are buried in that very cellar that claimed their lives in the attempt to cover up any traces of the heartbreaking incident. For further details on the 4th Annual Paranormal Meet and Greet, please visit www.crossroadsparanormal.com.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Tuesday, we'll sell you the seat, but you'll only need the edge. No, really. Join PCR every Tuesday night at 7 Central Standard Time and 8 Eastern Standard Time on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. I think it's coming. Listen. You might want to run for cover. Unless.
Hey, Midwest Paratalk Radio is coming to you live every Thursday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
All right, and we are back.
All right, we are back, and we are going through How Not to Be a Ghost Hunter, tongue-in-cheek guide, Sherry Esperon. So, like I said, Tom and I are going to have to bite our tongue and just kind of hammer through these next 15
minutes. Hey, can I just say something really quick? I do not want anyone to be offended by anything that I say. I have my opinion, and I believe everybody else has theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect everybody else's opinion, and I hope the same can be said of mine. We don't always agree, but I think as paranormal investigators, we should show the same respect for each other. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to be able to agree to disagree, period, end of sentence.
I mean. And I really don't want anybody to be offended or upset about what I've said, but I'm not going to not say what I think to try to stop or try not to offend somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you my opinion. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. But I'm going to respect your opinion as well.
You're not going to tippy-toe around things.
I'm not. No. And I never have, and I don't think I ever will.
Tiptoe. Oh, sorry.
Through the tulips. Sorry, I need a little ukulele.
All right, guys, here we go. Working with other teams. Number one, ghost hunting is a competitive business. Never, ever work with another team unless they can do something for you. But as soon as you get what you want, out of the relationship, cut all ties.
Gotta let them go.
You see, now I used to be an open door group. I used to work with a lot of other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, this last couple of weeks, it's biting me in the ass, and I just don't know if I want to do it anymore.
Hmm. And that's sad.
It really is, because mm-hmm. I've had some people that have been using us and have caused some issues
mm-hmm.
and have, because of some of the things that they've done, have been giving my group a bad name. And I'm at the point now where I just can't trust anybody. Yeah. I lost a lot of trust from some people I thought I could trust.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing. You need to know. And I mean, we are all about working with other groups. More about respecting other groups.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a select amount of groups that we do would refer cases to and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff because their mission matches ours. Yeah. Now, that's not to say that we have had some issues with, another group. But again, it's when it becomes personal, like, you know, personal attacks, that's when it's a little crazy and people just
What's been happening. I've been getting some personal attacks from some people that have caused some contention in my own group.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm sorry. I always wanted to start my own group so I could help other people
mm-hmm.
and share the experiences that I've had and some of the knowledge that I've learned over the years of doing this. But it's getting to the point now where I just don't want to do it.
Right.
And see, that's
which
where,
is sad.
That's where what we got going on next Saturday has been a huge help in our state. You know, there's, and we got probably three times as many groups in our state as you probably do in Utah. And, you know, they all come together every year.
For the most part. There's still a handful of groups that refuse to come, and that's fine.
Right.
That's their loss.
But it's grown, like you talked about, we farmed out a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's given us the opportunity to hook up with them, maybe go on some investigations and
learn about them.
And learn about them and stuff. And now we are comfortable with, if it's something down the southern part of the state, which is like 3 hours away, that we can farm out to them. Because we can't do it.
All right, guys. We only have 20 minutes left, and I said I got 15 points. So that's only leaving us like...
You know. Chop, chop.
Exactly. All right, number two. Your best bet is to badmouth, harass, and run down other teams. Let everyone who will listen know why your team is so much better than theirs.
That's true.
Spy on them. Try to post nasty messages if they have a message board, and make fun of them whenever you can. The only teams worth working with are... Taps, Penn State, GHI, or other team TV teams. Everyone else deserves nothing but your disdain.
All righty then.
So, okay.
Move on, please, because I could spend.
We don't have time. I go say we don't have time.
See, this was a great idea for the show. I mean, there's so many conversations we got into. All right, number three. Your best bet is to just break up the other teams. If you find a weak member, do everything you can to steal them. Good people will jump ship to go to another team at a moment's notice. Remember that and watch for your opportunities to talk trash to those people and turn them against their team.
This whole section is just making me sick because this is everything that I'm going through right now.
All right.
For the last 3 weeks.
Number four, if you do get someone to switch sides... make sure they take as much personal and private information as possible. Use what you can to better your team and leak all the dirty laundry. It will only make them look bad and you look good.
Yeah.
Number five, never take the advice of a more experienced investigator. Sure, there are people who have been investigating for 20, 30 years, but let's face it, if they were really any good, they would have a TV show. So don't bother with them.
I ask myself that question all the time.
You know just as much as they do, and why would they help you anyways? Be suspicious of those people. They just want to steal you or ruin your excellent reputation. How's that blood pressure doing, Tom?
Breathe.
Yeah, I'm going to need some more Diet Coke.
All right.
It's something that needs to be talked about off the air. The last 3 weeks have just been hell for me.
Mm. All right. We'll save that for off the air. Evidence. Number one, if at first you don't notice anything in your audio or photos, use fancy software to enhance it.
Oh, yeah.
When you do this, you will be surprised how much you will find. Don't ever publish unaltered evidence. That is boring. Make sure you enhance it. Make sure you enhance it until you will be sure everyone else will be able to see or hear what you did.
Photoshop is your best friend.
Good to know. And pixelation is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
They make the best pictures.
And never say matrixing to Chris.
No, Chris becomes unglued. Number two, never question your findings. This will make you look ignorant. And if by chance you discover something you published is wrong, never, never, ever retract it. No one else is as smart as you, so chances are, if you missed it, they will too. It is much better to leave it up and just run with it.
I have to say something about this and just take a second.
Sure.
Last year, over almost 2 years ago, Russ Larson and I did an investigation together, and I caught this photograph that looks like a dark shadow sitting in a chair at a theater. Mm-hmm. And the story goes that this ghost sits in this particular chair when they play Macbeth or Hamlet, and it looked like we captured this ghost. Mm-hmm. I mean, we spent weeks looking at this photo. I want to say at least 2 weeks looking at this photograph, trying to figure out whether or not we really did catch something, because it fit the storyline. It looked like a dark shadow. I mean, we tore this thing apart because I didn't want to post it because it was that good of a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
About 8 days into looking at this thing, Russ actually found a photograph that was at the same spot,
mm-hmm.
but at a slightly different angle, mm-hmm. and he caught it too. So we started comparing the photographs, and it turns out that it was actually us. The way the light was sitting, we had a black light underneath the seat where the person was supposedly seen,
because
we thought maybe the black light could enhance them.
Right.
The reflection actually caused a shadow to be seen, what looked like a human, but off the chair. We went and we realized that it wasn't spiritual. It was actually just the way the light hit the chair that made it look like a shadow.
Hmm.
Most people, if they would have seen that photograph, it would have been on their website and posted everywhere saying, look what I found.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have gone to all the trouble to try to figure it out.
No, you're absolutely
when
correct.
When you do get something and you think it's spiritual, make sure that you tear it apart.
Or just put down, even if you can't find a reason for it, just put that it's unexplained. You don't know the explanation. You're not saying it's a ghost. You're just saying, you know what, please, someone who maybe knows something more, please enlighten me.
I mean, take the time to look at your evidence and try to figure it out, really.
Yeah. All right. Number three, if you can't find any compelling evidence, it's okay to fake it. The only way to gain credibility is to post exciting evidence. This will help you gain more exposure, and you will eventually have the chance to find real evidence later.
Oh, that's just a woman thing, faking it.
All right, number four, be sure you know how to spot other people's fakes and call them out on it every chance you can. If they try to call you out on your fake evidence or even question your real evidence, personally attack them. This will show what losers they are, and no one will listen to them.
Well, and if you know how to fake stuff, obviously you're going to be able to point out fakes easier.
That's true, actually. If you can fake it, you know how it's done. You can help. Yep, most definitely. All right, here we go. Putting together and promoting your team. These are going to be the last 4 points and then a little bit of an outro by Sherry Esperon. Okay, putting together your team. Number one, it is much better to start your own team than join an established one. If you must join an established team, try to make changes to suit your needs as soon as possible. Especially if they don't do the things the way it is done on television. If they try to question you, simply tell them, well, that is the way that, insert your favorite TV team here, does. This is all the explanation anyone should need.
Well, why don't you guys have a psychic on your team? Paranormal State does.
Yep.
You know how many times I've been asked that question?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, number two, start building trust within your team immediately. Never do a background check on a potential team member. That is an invasion of privacy. And besides, what they do in their personal life has no impact on your ghost hunting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And people wonder
why. I want a homicidal maniac on my team.
Well, yeah, and I want to go into the darkest place with this person, you know, someone's basement or whatever, because it's just the two of us doing a preliminary walkthrough, and I want to go into the basement of an abandoned building with this person.
Yeah.
Never
yeah.
to be seen again. All right, number three.
Just give us really good EVPs when you're gone.
Yeah, okay, I promise. Number three, people with jobs and families will just hold you back. Try to find people who don't have any responsibilities or goals other than ghost hunting.
Mom, I'm 30. I'm going to go on a ghost hunt tonight. Can I please? And, you know, I want someone who doesn't have a job, who can't afford to actually pay for the gas to go on a ghost hunt. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Mom, I promise I'll come in the back door to go down to the basement not to disturb you and Dad when I get home.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Number four, go everywhere together in your team t-shirts. Try to attract as much attention as possible. Dress crazy. Be loud. Do whatever it takes to attract attention. This is especially important if there is a television camera or a reporter nearby. Do...
I'm gonna kill
the
boy.
I never thought of that.
Do whatever it takes to be photographed or even better interviewed in your t-shirt. All press is good press.
Okay. One, dressing crazy is bad. Two, I don't think there's anything wrong with wearing your group shirt out in public.
No.
No. Well, but I mean, it's not like a gang of us going out, like, you know.
Yeah, it's not like, when we're on investigations, it is kind of funny. I enjoy the looks that we get when we're all sitting around a table at dinner.
Yes.
We're all wearing these black shirts that say WPI on the front.
Yeah.
You know, that gives me a good giggle. Yeah. But I never thought of going to, like, I don't know, there's a fire, and we know there's going to be at least three news stations there. Hurry, everybody. Let's meet there and stand in front of the crowd.
You know what? That's really cool.
Hey, cops is filming in Salt Lake this week, dude. Let's go find them.
Well, you know, there was a car accident on 231 here out by us, and the police were there, and the television crew was. Maybe I should have pulled over and started running across the highway.
Yeah.
Team shirt on. Whee!
Hi, I'm a crazy ghost hunter.
Oh God.
There's nothing wrong with promoting your group.
No.
There isn't. It's, I think, how you do it and do it professionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so here's the closing statement. So there you have it, all you ever needed to know about being a good ghost hunter. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. I am an expert on the paranormal and know everything there is about it. Most of you will probably not bother reading this final paragraph, which is great. If you just skimmed this article and only took away tiny bits of information to suit your own needs, you are well on your way to being a great ghost hunter. But if you did bother to read every word and not jump to conclusions, I hope by now you have realized that this article is a spoof and is actually a how not to guide that is dripping with sarcasm. I hope you had a chuckle. So, Sherry, we did read every word.
And,
and you did
hats to you.
Yes. Fantastic job. Let me...
you need to drop her an email because, like I said, when she was on the show,
she was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you guys, if you want to follow and see what else Sherry does, she does many other articles. You know, Ghost Hunters Return to Investigate, just all kinds of psychics claim to speak to Michael Jackson's ghost. She's done all kinds of different articles. And you can go to www.examiner.com and you can search for her. It's Sherry, Cheri Esperon, Esperon. She is the Milwaukee Paranormal Examiner. So please go visit her there and drop her a line if you... Actually, she has four comments on that article already, and I'm not sure if I am able to see them because... she does... Someone says, love this article, gave me a good laugh, still grinning. Someone says it would be even funnier if most of it wasn't the actual protocols employed by so many, which is true. Someone says, ha, 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 I just wish that people didn't handle themselves in this manner. How right you are. And Sherry did go on to say, too, remember, just in case anyone is confused, this was a joke. Read the last paragraph.
Yeah.
You know, which we totally understood, and I think she did a great job. So definitely made us laugh and kind of giggle. So great, great job. I can't give enough props. So go to examiner.com and look up Sherry Esperon, Cheri Esperon. And you know what? This is even a great thing to share with your group at your next meeting.
There you go.
So.
If I have one.
Well, you can share it with yourself, Tom.
Yeah.
You can read it to your wife.
It's been a bad couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things, and it's always hard. I mean, there's times where I get so fed up, I just want to throw in the towel and say I'm done. And
that was me about 2 o'clock last night.
Well, and if most people have noticed, I haven't logged into my MySpace in probably a couple of weeks. I take these, like, sabbaticals where I just need to get away from it. I can't handle the drama, the crap, the... whatever. I mean, I just want to go out and look for paranormal activity and help people deal with paranormal experiences. I didn't join this community for the crap. I just didn't. So, you know, I've kind of been on, I guess, sabbatical and have taken kind of a step back. I mean, we've still gone out And I, of course, still do the show and that kind of stuff. But as for getting on, like, the MySpace and reading the bulletins and stuff, I apologize to those that maybe are offended. But it's definitely something that I needed.
So. See, I don't let that stuff bother me. I get a kick out of it.
I know you do, but I just think it's a waste of my time.
Oh, I know.
You know, I've got other things I should be doing or could be doing. You know, I've got a full-time job. Of course, you know, Dennis is here. You know, I've got friends. I don't want to be bogged down with the crap.
I'm trying not to. I really am. I'm trying to stay perky.
Just got
to
let it go. Yep. That's all it is.
Yeah. So.
It's called karma.
Good show.
It's called Karma, Tom. Don't ever worry about it.
Yeah, we had a great time.
What goes around comes around. Yeah, fantastic show.
This was more what we had envisioned when we started this.
Yeah.
You know, the lighter side.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
And we're not talking about the host.
What?
I said we're not talking about the host.
Oh.
We never will when it comes to the lighter side. And especially if we get our Praskles.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? Oh, my God. We need to get these Praskles. Somebody, Greg. Greg is a man usually. I know he's not here. I think he's at a meeting. But we need to get Greg on it to get a sponsorship, okay?
Yeah.
And we can each have Praskles, and we can go into, like, parades with the
Praskles.
There
you go.
I love it.
See, I am a marketing
tooling
champion.
Through Utah on the Praskle.
You and I together, we could conquer the world when it comes to marketing.
You know what, Tom? I think we could, and that's what scares the hell out of me. And probably a lot of other people.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm the same way. I think I could sell a dead dog to somebody.
Well, you know, that's what I am in, is in retail sales. And my staff always say I can sell ice to an Eskimo. So, you know, but I don't know. And like I always say, the day before Valentine's Day, you can always sell a stick of poo to a man, you know.
Especially at a 7-Eleven.
Yes, fantastic. But, yeah, the Praskles. I think we could put little baskets with little candies or something and throw them out to the crowds.
I would drive up to your hometown just to be a part of it.
Well, you know, maybe...
As long as you drive up in your Praskle.
Yeah, and you know what, though? Maybe we could get, like, on the Macy's Day Parade or something.
You know what we need to do is a Praskle tour of the U.S.
Oh, yes. And you know what we can call it? Praskle Pride.
We start in California, and we Praskle our way across the United States, hitting every haunted location we can in our Praskles.
I want to do it!
It's a TV show in itself.
There you go. Oh, my God. I wish Greg was here. Hopefully he'll hear the show. Somebody has got to contact Greg later today and get him on there. I think that would be so funny. Or here we go, Tom. You're in Utah. I'm in Indiana. We will set out the same day on our Praskles, have a set route, and we will meet somewhere.
We'll find that a haunted location halfway through.
Yes, and we will meet. It'll be.
I just don't know if a Praskle can make it over the Rockies.
I don't know. Let's try it.
At least we're flat.
Don't be a wuss. Let's just try it.
Oh, I'm not going to wuss out. I'll do it. I've got to push the damn thing up the hill. I will.
Hell, Tom will just strap it to his car, drive over the mountains, and get off of it when he hits flat land.
That would be hilarious. The Praskle tour?
Yeah, the Praskle tour. Yep. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you for the laugh. I so needed the laugh. Yeah.
Well, you know, Praskle pride.
I want one. I'm telling you, I want one bad.
Too. Okay, if anyone...
And I've got to have one of those little annoying old man horns on it.
You mean this wouldn't work?
That's the bell.
No. It's got to be one of those little old horns that you had, like the little girls had on their bicycles back in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah.
I want the edge of the edging of my Praskle seat. I want it to be bejeweled.
I put Kiss stickers all over mine.
I want Praskle bling. I do. I want Praskle bling.
I tell you.
What? Oh, I have a little iPod spot, so you could have your iPod.
Oh, they're going. Mine's going to be loaded. Let me tell you.
You ain't going yet.
Mine is too.
I swear to God.
I'm going to have a barrel attached to it for my Diet Coke.
Well, and of course, you'll have to have, like, you know, your gun carrier on the side.
Well, you know, and your helmet could have the straws, Tom, so you could just suck on it all the time.
Oh, yeah, you know, I have one of those helmets. I could use it.
Yeah, there you go. There. You-
like, I wouldn't have one of those helmets. Come on.
What the hell were you thinking, Mike?
Chocolate milk on a Saturday night in my beer helmet.
Oh, my God. It sounds like we're ready for Pascals.
You're a rebel, Tom. You're a rebel.
I am. I'm a wild boy. I'm telling you.
All right, wild boy. We are at the top of the hour, so we're going to have to rake this down. And I'm getting me a Prasco, though. But anyway.
Thief! I said it. It's my idea. Back off.
I hope everybody enjoyed the show. And those that listen, I hope you enjoyed it. We have had a good time today.
Oh, we had a great time.
And this was what it's all about, the lighter side of the paranormal. And, you know, it's hump day, and hopefully we can get everybody finish the week on a cheerier note.
You can't even say it.
I know. So
you're all Praskalized.
I know. So with that, until Friday, I believe we will bid you adieu.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great Wednesday.
All right. See y'all.
Goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to Good Morning Paranormal, powered by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And remember, you can hang out here with different show hosts from the ASPRN Network for Good Morning Paranormal every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.